Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to call Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Today's Thursday, March 11, 2021. Let the record reflect. The time is now 3:59 p.m. Today we have present telephonic should be Vice Chair Senator Reinbold. We have Senator Costello, and we have myself, Chair Schauer. I'd like to remind everybody, please turn off your cell phones. We have staff assisting us today are Terrence Shanigan, Committee Aide for State Affairs, Carrie Cooper, writer of Senate Records, and we've got Carson with the LIO. Five items on today's agenda, if we can get to it, will be public here, or excuse me, we'll be hearing public testimony on SB 83 elections, voting, ballot requirements, SB 84 land vouchers, PFDs, SB 7 state trooper policies, public access, SB 12 military spouse courtesy license, and SB 40 veterans benefit services voter regulations. Are there any questions or comments? And I should actually check and make sure, thank you, that Senator Reinbold, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, wow. That was loud. Okay, awesome. Just want to make sure you can hear us and we can hear you and you are loud and clear. Should have done that first. Thank you for the reminder. Any questions or comments from committee members before we get started? Okay. Seeing none, we're going to move on to public testimony starting on SB 83, elections, voting, ballot requirements. Do we have anybody in the room that would like to testify? Seeing none, we're going to move to online testimony at this time. For those testifying, just based on the time limit, especially as we got a little bit squashed today on our timeline, going to ask for a two-minute limit, and it hits 2 minutes. I'm going to remind you to please wrap it up and start off with your name, who you represent, your affiliation, and then you can continue with the public testimony for 2 minutes. And we are testifying only on this portion for SB 83, so we're going to start off with Morgan Lim. And when you are ready, Morgan, you can begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Morgan Lim. I am a Juneau resident, and I'm speaking on behalf of Planned Parenthood Votes Northwest in Hawaii. We strongly oppose SB 83 and urge the committee to not move it forward. PPVNH supports policies that make it convenient for all eligible voters to register to vote and cast a ballot. SB 83 is a bill that makes it harder to vote by imposing burdensome voter identification requirements on absentee voters and limits in-person voting for communities with 750 people or fewer. While SB 83 claims to be focused on combating election fraud, it is a bill in search of a problem and will ultimately result in voters becoming disenfranchised. PPVNH opposes this bill's attempt to suppress votes by requiring burdensome and unnecessary voter identification in absentee voting and refusing to count votes if a person mistakenly omits such information. Laws that require burdensome identification hurdles often deprive many voters of their right to vote, reduce participation, and stand in direct opposition to our state's goal of including more Alaskan people in the democratic process. The United States and Alaska have not lived up to the promise of equal access at the ballot box, with Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities more likely to face barriers to voting. This country is plagued with inadequate polling places, increasingly limited voting hours, disenfranchised and formerly incarcerated individuals, and systematic efforts to suppress the vote in our communities. In the first 3 months of 2021 alone, over 253 voter suppression bills have been introduced in 43 states. SB 83 is part of a nationwide voter suppression trend, as too many politicians try to manipulate the outcome of elections by making it harder to cast a ballot. This legislation should be focused on expanding voting, not suppressing it. Planned Parenthood Votes Northwest in Hawaii thanks you for the opportunity to comment on SB 83, and we urge you to not advance this legislation that would restrict voting in Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Morgan, for your testimony. We're going to move on to Jeanette Lee. Jeanette, when you hear me, or if you can hear me, you are cleared to begin with your name, who you represent, and testimony.
Yes, hello. My name is Jeanette Lee. I am an Anchorage-based senior democracy researcher with the Sightline Institute, for a public policy think tank. So I'd like to address the identifying information provided by voters on absentee ballots. And particularly as you consider these changes, we recommend that you re-examine the need for the witness signature. The requirement to have a witness sign one's absentee ballot envelope is an unnecessary regulation. If the rule actually made elections more secure, that would be one thing, but it's hard to see how it actually does. Court documents filed in the legal fight last year over whether to require witness signatures during the general election verified that the state has no process to check the legitimacy of witness signatures. And when asked by the judge whether the requirement had ever played a role in detecting fraud, the state could not identify any such instance, and I quote, could not identify any such instance in recent memory, and was not sure whether it had played a role in detection in the more distant past. That's according to court documents. So our research has shown that the Division of Elections requirement to provide identifying information like date of birth is a more effective check. And yet, in election after election, enforcement of what's essentially an empty gesture has disenfranchised hundreds of eligible absentee voters. So more than 450 of the record 62,000 or so Alaska voters who applied to vote absentee in the August 2020 primaries had their ballots rejected for lack of a signature, and this is a pattern. For national context, only 11 states normally require a witness signature. Only five enforced that rule last year. To protect all Alaskans' right to vote, the legislature should permanently do away with this regulation at the earliest opportunity. And we recommend instead a robust signature verification process paired with a ballot cure option that allows voters to fix errors on the ballot envelope, obviously not to change the ballots themselves. These are much more effective ways to balance the need to verify voters' identities while also preserving their right to participate in our democracy. Separately, I have a question about the by mail.
Jeanette, if you could please wrap up.
Oh, okay. That's good. I'll submit by email.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We've just got a lot of testifiers to get through today. Thank you very much for your time today. And we're going to move on to Kendra Kloster. Kendra, if you are ready, put yourself on the record with your name, who you represent. Please present your testimony.
Yes, this is Kendra Kloster. I'm the Executive Director of Native Peoples Action. I'm going to talk a little bit more. It sounds like Jeanette covered a lot on the witness signature portion of that, and I'm in agreement with a lot of what she said. And with the witness signature is looking at more, it's not a way that has really been used to identify fraud, and it's something that hasn't been used. And when I think about someone like, I'm going to use my grandmother as an example, to go and get a witness signature at this time when she was by herself in her 90s, it was something that I was not comfortable with at that time with COVID going on. And so I was glad to see the state do away with that, and I think that needs to be moved to permanent for all the reasons that Jeanette had just stated. But I wanted to talk a little bit more on for the communities for a vote by mail, having the Division of Elections having that option to do only vote by mail for communities 750 and less. I see the way it's written right now is problematic. We have done many reports and studies and about how we need a dual system in Alaska. If it's going to be vote by mail, it also needs to still have an in-person voting option. So I strongly encourage working with tribal communities and communities to talk through different options. I understand needing to have different options for voting in cases where we might not have poll workers, but it still needs to have every effort to ensure that we are getting poll workers so people can vote. And if communities were then to request an opportunity to do vote by mail, I think it needs to go to the communities and having that option for them and not having the state have the option of just doing that without communities' input. So I think there needs to be more work done on this bill before it's moved forward. And I would put myself out there to say I'd be happy to work with the sponsor or this committee or any other committee to see what we can do to do more to ensure that people have the opportunity to vote. We need to ensure every Alaskan has no barriers to voting, and we look forward to working with you on that.
Thank you very much, Kendra. I'm going to mention this. This probably seems a little bit off topic, but you might want to work with my office because all the things I've heard today are things we're actually putting into the bill that we have, which is SB 39. And we've been taking input to change those. So it might be a better vehicle and something to consider to contact our office about that very thing. Thank you for taking the time today to call and testify. I do not see anybody else on the list at this time. Okay, seeing no more testifiers for SB 83, we're going to go ahead and close public testimony. It is my intent to move the bill out today. Do we have any? I apologize. That's right. We don't have enough. Thank you. See, you have a script for a reason, and then it's off the record. Okay, so My intent was to move the bill out today, but we're not going to do that because we don't have three of us here. So that being said, we're going to continue on to the next bill, which is going to be a public testimony for SB 84, land vouchers, PFDs. Switching over, we're going to start off in the room. Do we have anybody that would like to testify on SB 84? Seeing none. We're going to move on to public testimony online, starting with Edward Martin. Please put yourself on the record with your name, who you represent, and 2 minutes. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, Chairman Schauer and the members that are attending. This is Ed Martin from Cooper Landing, Alaska. You know, the history of this bill actually goes back quite a while. I started a letter to Tony Knowles back when oil went to $12 a barrel, and I think it was 98, and he asked the state to come up with ideas of how to fix some of our fiscal problems. Well, at that time, I was thinking more of the future of Alaska and whether or not we could get land in the hands of the people, which would help solve some of our fiscal problems, and it would put more of our lands that sit in idle in the state's management into the hands of citizens. This bill will definitely help our future of our children and their futures where they have land for which they can create new wealth and investment. And this is a good bill because if that money can be retained in the earnings reserve, it'll grow a bigger permanent fund dividend. I'm not certain that that's in this bill, but it surely could be added to it. I think the intent by the governor, and it was my conversations with him before he was elected, to see that this came about. And it doesn't matter whose idea it is. As far as I'm concerned, it should move forward. It got hung up in finance last year. There's no excuse for it not to move forward now, Chairman. I would like it to move. I don't know if you can move it today because of your quorum there. But, you know, this whole issue with COVID needs to get resolved, and we need to get people at the desk and or call in, as which I believe there was a resolution put forward by the Senate. We need the House to pass it. And then if people are scared to come in the committee, they can stay in their offices. This is my testimony. Let's move forward, people. And let's get something done. Thank you so much for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Edward. I appreciate you taking time to testify today. I just want to mention for those that may be listening online is for those that heard what a quorum is, we have a quorum to do business, which means we need three committee members. We have those two present physically, one online. However, we also have a rule that you have to have three people to be physically present to sign a bill or an amendment to move it out, and we can't do that today because of that limit. So for those that are wondering what was meant by Edward's comments, that's where we're kind of stuck today from a committee rule perspective of not being able to move bills without more people present. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, can I speak?
Senator Reinbold, go ahead.
I am present. I want you to know I was down in that room. I was asked to leave. So I would be happy to come down and vote and move bills out.
I understand, Senator Reinbold. Thank you for that. It's just we're stuck with other things. Who is that talking about? Okay. Modern technology. It's okay. I don't want to keep us wrapped up in something here outside of it. Clarifications just for the public listening so they know. And thank you, Senator Ryan, for letting the folks know you are here, physically present, but not in the committee based on policies. So, okay. Got that said, we're going to move on to the next one. Marty Parsons, I apologize for the delay, just getting some clarifications for the public. When you're ready, please put yourself on the record with your name, who you represent, in 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Marty Parsons. I'm the director of the Division of Mine and Land and Water. I was basically here to answer questions if the committee had any concerning the effect of the bill.
Okay. Do we have any questions from the committee members? Okay, Senator Reinbold, if she does, I'm sure she'll speak up. All right. I would say that's a no at this time. Any questions? Well, that's fine. We don't have any more there. I don't see anybody else online, just to verify, no. And I already asked if there's anybody in the room, so that would be a no. All right. Weird days, folks. Weird days here. Seeing no more testifiers for SB 84, we're going to go ahead and close public testimony. We cannot move the bill. Sorry, folks. the script. What are you going to do? Got to have some humor in this. It's a crazy world. We're going to move on to the next bill at this time. We're going to move public testimony for SB 7. State Trooper Policy is public access. We have one testifier, looks like, online. Do we have anybody in the room that would like to testify? Okay, seeing none, we're going to move online again to Morgan Lim. You've already put yourself on the record, but if you'd repeat the process, go ahead and put yourself back on the record and who you represent in 2 minutes.
Will do. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Morgan Lim, and I'm a resident of Juneau, and I'm speaking on behalf of Planned Parenthood Votes Northwest in Hawaii. We support SB 7 and urge the committee to move it forward. SB 7 takes a first step toward ensuring accountability of policing to better serve the people in Alaska. While SB 7 is a simple, common-sense step in the right direction to dismantle systemic racism, which is our goal, the police, as we know, need to be highly, completely reimagined and held accountable. As healthcare experts, our first priority is the health and safety of our patients, and that concern does not stop once our patients leave our doors. We know our patients of color, especially our Black and Indigenous patients, live in a society in which law enforcement disproportionately target and harass their communities. We know that these communities have been historically overpoliced and are more likely to be imprisoned for misdemeanors, minor crimes, ripping families apart and contributing to economic disenfranchisement of these communities. Alaska must take steps to dismantle the systemic racism that permeates our public institutions and systems, including both our criminal justice system and our healthcare system. Only then will our communities meaningfully achieve reproductive freedom. As our state reckons with the generations of structural racism that underpin all of our systems, we should be looking to center leadership of Black and Indigenous communities and to invest in community-based solutions to reimagine all institutions funded on white supremacy, including policing and healthcare. The murders of Breonna Taylor, Aaron Bailey, George Floyd, Cody Ayer, Kevin McNulty, and countless others highlight the need for drastic systemic change, including external accountability and policies to ensure our communities can live free of violence. Requiring the Department of Public Safety to publicly display the policies and procedures related to the Peace Officers Code of Conduct is a small but impactful step in ensuring officers and departments can be held accountable. It's a step in the right direction that Planned Parenthood Votes Northwest in Hawaii fully supports. We thank you for the opportunity to comment on this impactful piece of legislation, and we urge that you move it forward. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the time to testify today. Senator Ray Jackson, you have any final comments since you're in the room? Your bill? And do we have any further comments from committee members at this time? Okay. With the inability to move the bill, we're going to go ahead and set this one aside for a future time. Yes. Thank you. I'm so off the script now. It's like I'm going to need some help here. Boys, this is all over the place today. Thank you. I almost said Mia, so I'll just say Senator Costello. Carrie knows. I go off script a little bit, and it's just, well, this is how we roll here. So, okay, we're going to move on to public testimony for SB 12.
Senator Schauer.
Yes, ma'am.
If you could publicly mention your closing public testimony, I'm sure that's what Carrie would prefer.
Did I not mention it?
No, you didn't.
Oh, I am closing public testimony for SB 7 at this time. I'll hit this as many times as you want me to if you want to go with that. It's free. You can hit those free all day long. Thank you. Sorry. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone right now.
Hey.
It's just a really, you know, hey. Okay, moving on. If we're good. We're good to move on? Ready? Yeah, okay. We're going to continue with testimony, public testimony for SB 12, military spouse courtesy license. We have two. We actually have one testifier online, one for questions. Do we see anybody in the room at this time that would like to testify on SB 12? Okay, we're going to move to online testimony at this time. Did I open it? I don't even know anymore. I'm opening public testimony for SB 12. How about that? We're going to follow the script. So at this time, we have one testifier online, Jomo Stewart. If you could, Jomo, put yourself on the record with your name, who you represent, and you can present your testimony.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jomo Stewart. I'm the military project manager with the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation here in Fairbanks, Alaska. All right. So the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation is pleased to offer its support for legislation modifying Alaska's professional licensing regime toward prudently enhanced recognition of licenses earned in other jurisdictions and increasing legislative oversight relative to the special accommodations of military spousal licenses already existing in the system. In February 2018, the Secretaries of the Army, Navy, and Air Force sent a joint letter to the nation's governors advising them that the service's new support for military families initiative and their intent to make quality of education and professional license portability a greater consideration in future basing decisions. More recently, in late 2019, the Air Force became the first branch to make good on that promise, releasing scorecards for all 50 states and all communities hosting Air Force bases, and unfortunately ranking Alaska behind 35 other states for military spousal license portability. So regarding SB 12, FEDC appreciates past state efforts to expedite the applications of military personnel and spouses for effectively recognition of their professional licenses that they acquired before deployment to Alaska. However, unfortunately, responses to that initiative have been fleetingly low. So the sponsor, like the sponsor, FEDC hopes that strengthening the departmental reporting requirements and legislative oversight of temporary licenses will help generate a greater response. We do, however, believe that legislation seeking to improve licensure portability generally by prudently enhancing Alaska's professional licensure recognition and reciprocity regimes would also greatly benefit Alaska. Doing so will allow highly trained new residents to more rapidly and fully bring their skills to bear in our state, and in doing so, make Alaska more attractive to potential relocating professionals. So the overarching goal of FEDC is to help residents of the interior and Alaska build a and benefit from a stronger economy. So FEDC believes a package of legislation modifying Alaska's professional licensing regime toward prudently enhanced recognition of licenses earned in other jurisdictions and increasing legislative oversight relative to the special accommodations of military spouse licenses would be good, would move our community and our state toward achievement of that broader goal. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking time to call in today. And we do have Sarah Chambers online from Department of Commerce. If anybody has questions from committee members this time on the bill. Okay, I don't see any further comments. We're going to go ahead and close public testimony. Follow the script. Go ahead, Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I'm very supportive of Senator Kawasaki's efforts to improve the ability for military spouses to get licenses quicker. The man who just spoke from the FEDC mentioned other measures, and I just wanted to say that Senate Labor and Commerce Committee has introduced a committee bill on licensure, and I know Senator Rivak is also very interested in improving that process, and so I just wanted to say on the record that it is a priority. We spoke with the governor just this morning about the need for all individuals who want to work in Alaska to be able to get a license, and so that is a priority effort that's going on, and I just want to mention that to the caller because I think he's correct. There needs to be a lot of different ways that we address it, and I'm really happy that Senator Kawasaki introduced this.
I'm very familiar with this one, as I mentioned to the committee before, having a 24-year military career. So it is an important issue for the state long-term, and as we're well aware, many people end up loving Alaska like I did, and you fall in love with it, and you stay here, so it becomes home over time, and then you bring all of that expertise into the state, which is a big bonus for us. So, okay, seeing no other comments before the committee at this time, we're going to go ahead and set, and we've closed public testimony, so we're going to set this bill aside for a later time to bring it back up. Move on to public testimony for the last bill of the day is SB 40, Veterans Benefit Services Voter Registration, and we've got no testifiers online at this time, right? Do we have anybody in the room that would like to testify? Okay, so, well, you know, I'm going to take it at ease for a quick question. So we're going to go ahead and open public testimony at this time for SB 40. Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify? Seeing none. There is nobody online to testify, just to validate. Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and close public testimony at this time so I get it right. All right, we will be unable to move the bill out today. So any further comments on SB 40 from committee members? Okay, seeing none, then we're going to continue. Thank you to everybody online that showed up today and to those that came into the room to listen for the testimony. Our next meeting will be this Tuesday, March 16th at 3:30 p.m. We'll be hearing bills previously heard. Seeing no further business before the committee, this time we're going to adjourn at 4:23 p.m. Thanks, everybody.